Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
The Lord kind of put a word on my heart a little bit ago. It's a simple word, and I thought I'd look it up and just see what the Word of God has to say about it. Amen. So we're going to look at the word heritage. 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 H-E-R-I-T-A-G-E, heritage. And heritage includes inheritance. Okay? Your inheritance is your heritage. So let's go back in the Old Testament, and we'll start in Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 27. Now, I'm going to read a few verses here, because we need to get the context of what is being said. Says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Amen. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You want to live old and live long? You fear the Lord. You want to shorten your life? Turn to wickedness. And you know, there's many, many ways that the wicked can have their life shortened. The reckless lifestyle that they live. All right, let's go on. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. You know, God means every word that He says here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these are not just idle words. Oh, what will we say? Just fill in some words. No, they mean something. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. You know, in hoping in the Lord is not sadness.
Yeah.
It's gladness.
Yeah, it is.
Amen? But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Now, what we're doing is we're making a contrast here. The hope of the righteous, amen, is gladness. The expectation of the wicked shall perish. Amen. And we'll now go to verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Now, this is long range. All right, this is not short range, because if you look at the present day, you say, well, this is not true. The wicked are inhabiting the earth all over the place. In fact, the wicked seem to be in control of the earth. But God is saying, this is what the hope is. This is the hope of the righteous. Amen. Is that wickedness will not inhabit the earth. It's going to die out. It's going to be gone. Amen. The kingdom of God is coming. And it is coming in the earth, and it is coming to take over the earth. Now, I don't care what the wicked believe is their inheritance, it's going to end.
Amen.
Now, we're like I said, we are talking long range here. You look at this as the long range promise of God, okay?
The attitude says, the meek
yes. So the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Now, their inheritance is not of the earth long range. Their inheritance is short range, even a couple thousand years. Short range. This is going to last. So they had 6,000 years of prosperity. Just a blip on the radar screen. That's all it was. And look at eternity. Come on. All right, let's go back into Psalms and pick up a few more good verses. By the way, let me go to Job first. Amen. Job. Sister Rita and I have been working on Job. In our time together, you know, in reading Job, you've got to understand that there are things written here that men are saying that are not really, they're men's ideas of what God ought to do, and God brings a correction at the end of the book. All right, but still, let me read a couple verses from the 20th chapter of Job. All right? Verse 26. Now, basically, these fellows have a basic understanding of God. In other words, their understanding is pretty much what we read in Proverbs. They're looking long-term, you know, promises. And they cannot understand why Job is having the trouble he's having. All right? In other words, they're saying, well, if you were really righteous, you wouldn't have all these troubles. Amen? All right, so let's come in. This is Zophar's speech here, by the way. Start in verse 26. It says, all darkness shall be hid in the secret places. Now, I believe what that means is the total of darkness is reserved for his treasures. My, isn't that a strange interpretation? A fire not blown shall consume him. Now, we're talking about the unrighteous, okay? It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. All right? Now, they think it all has to happen right now, and they can't understand why this misfortune happened to Job. All right, so then they go on. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. All right, what he's saying is true in the long run. But if you try to look at it in the short run and say, well, why did I have trouble? It doesn't mean that God has forsaken the man. Okay? Now, getting out of Job, I want to go over to another verse in Proverbs, and then we'll take a few from Psalms. Proverbs 13 has another nugget here. Oh, 13. Here we go. I'm looking at the wrong chapter.
13?
Yes, 13. Now I'm trying to think why I wrote this down. Proverbs 13. Oh, I'm in the wrong verse again. 22. Okay. 22. The good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's the one that you mentioned last week, Larry. The good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. In other words, his grandchildren. Okay? And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, once again, look at this in the long term. Yes, John Rockefeller gave a lot of money to his children. And some of this is passing down to his grandchildren. Old Joe Kennedy, to use some well-known names, passed on a lot of wealth to his children. But wait a minute. Is it going well with these children?
No.
No, it's not. There's a curse on these people. They're dying young. They're in all kinds of trouble. They marry a famous politician and get divorced. Our present governor was once married to a Kennedy. Did you know that? And it ended. These people are struggling with alcoholism. They can't seem to be cured. So, pardon?
Was married to a Kennedy?
Yes, he was married to a Kennedy.
I didn't know that.
He's living with his girlfriend in the mansion now. I mean, this is where we've come to now. We elect a governor that lives with his girlfriend.
It's the way the world's coming to now, though.
Yeah.
It's all out there. It's happening.
Yeah, he was married to a Kennedy. Do you remember who it was?
I don't know.
Or was it a Shriver? Anyway, it was a descendant of a Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was him. I'm pretty sure it was. I heard that, but I'm not going to go look it up on the internet just to prove it. Okay, so let me read that again, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Okay? Now, let's go to Psalms, and we'll pick out some good verses in Psalms. Psalms chapter 2. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 2, and we'll just go our way through Psalms and find some good word here. Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Yeah. Ask of me. Amen. It's the same as the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, when I look around, pardon me for getting carnal here in my thinking. Well, I look around and I see all the wealth.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the building, I see the structures, I see the highways that are being built. And I'm thinking, Lord, I mean, it's the wickedness, it's all coming down. Who's going to inherit all this?
We are.
I mean, it isn't going to be all nuked and destroyed.
Nope.
So, all right, they're paying for it. Let them build.
Yeah, right. That's true.
I don't know that I personally want their stuff, but I'm telling you, this is what the Word of God says. Back here in Psalms, verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Now, let's get off the carnal kick here for a minute. I don't want just to inherit a bunch of heathen. I want the heathen to turn to righteousness. And that's what I want for my inheritance. So if you want to stand on a hill and look out over the city and say, Lord, give me this as an inheritance, what you're really saying is, Lord, let the kingdom of God come to them. Let that be my inheritance. I will preach to them and they will receive and hear the word of God. All right. So ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, this is what we're doing in the uttermost parts of the world. For the possession of the kingdom of God. Not my personal possession. I don't care to possess anything more. I want to possess it for God's kingdom. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm getting off my carnal thinking here and getting into the spiritual thinking. Let's take another verse in Psalms. Let's go to Psalms chapter 16. Verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Amen? Now, it's not gold, it's not riches, it's not houses, it's not lands and chariots and cars and horses. That's not it. The Lord, amen, is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. That means he will uphold. Amen. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. Now, one more verse here.
That word, my lot, in the Hebrew, means my destiny.
My destiny, yes. My destiny. Yeah, thou maintainest my destiny. Yeah. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly inheritance. And I think we have another verse here. Yeah, let's go down. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also shall instruct me in the night seasons. Amen? Now, this word reins, it means heart. Literally, it says kidneys. It means my mind, my heart, my soul. Now, listen to this. Here's a promise you ought to be claiming. My reins shall instruct me in the night seasons.
When you read it, yeah.
Claim it. Lord, my reins. You know, the reins is probably a good word here. You've never driven horses, probably, but you have to hold on to the reins, and the reins control the horses. A horse that is trained is under control by the reins. You pull back on the reins, whoa, and the horse stops. You pull right, the horse goes right. You pull on the left rein, the horse goes left. You slap the reins a little bit on their back, and they start trotting. They go a little faster, all right? So the reins are that inward part of me that is truly in control of me. And here's what it says. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Counsel is what? Instruction, isn't it? My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. That means the devil isn't going to have any instruction on me in the night season. It's the counsel of the Lord that is established within me. Put a claim on these things, brethren. Put a claim on these. Let's go to Psalms 33. We're going to pick up a bunch in Psalms, but there's some in the New Testament too. Chapter 33, verse 12. Now, we're taking it out beyond an individual, a group of individuals. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, this isn't just Israel. It's any nation. Any nation whose God is the Lord. I mean, it could be Russia, it could be China. Anybody who says, our God is the Lord, is going to be blessed. Now, on the contrary, what's going to happen when that nation says, our God is not the Lord? You're going to lose the blessing. Okay?
Like America.
Yes. And we're coming to a place where our nation is saying, we don't care to mention the name of the Lord God anymore. All right? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now, look at this. We get a different look at inheritance here. A different tilt. It's God's inheritance. The people whom the Lord hath chosen for his own inheritance. You suppose God wants to inherit something too? He wants to inherit a people. His people to be his inheritance. Okay? That was Psalms 33. Let's go now to Psalm 61. It's just a little Bible study here today. It's not really profound or anything, just some good little truth here. Psalm 61, almost the whole chapter, but let's start. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. How many of you started off your prayer that way? You've had many occasions. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. In other words, I really want to be heard. Okay? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's a song too, isn't it? Okay? For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Now, come on, these are things you got to claim. You've got to settle these things in your heart. You've got to know that God is your strong tower.
Yes,
you think of running from the enemy. They're shooting arrows at you out there in the desert, and you're just on a dead run, and you come to this strong tower. You can go into this thing, lock the door. Nobody can get into that thing to get you. It's a strong tower. We actually encountered one of those towers in Ireland one time. Remember when they showed us that tower? The chamber of the thing was built way up, something like 20 or 30 feet above the ground. You had to go up, I don't know how they got up there, by a rope or something. Once they got up there, they had a big old stone that they put in front of the whole town could get into this thing. And this is probably when, I don't know, the English or somebody was after them. This whole village could go up into this tower, put a big stone across the thing, and in order to get them, you'd have to tear the whole tower down to get to them. It was quite interesting. We took a picture of it. And we didn't go up in that thing, did we? We just photographed it. I don't think there was a way to get up in there. Maybe there was a ladder. Maybe the last one up would pull the ladder up, and that would be the end of it. Anyway, it reminded me of this verse, that the Lord is a strong tower from the enemy, okay? For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. He will abide in thy tabernacle forever. What does this mean now? He will abide in thy tabernacle forever. He will abide in your tent. Amen. He will abide in your house.
Says, I will abide. You got
he? Where did I write that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. You're right, Rita. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of his wings. What's the covert of his wings? That's the shelter of his wings. Okay? For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Do we ever make vows to the Lord? Yeah. We make promises to him. We make a covenant with him. Salvation is a covenant. You covenant to agree with the Lord, he covenants to save you.
Yep.
Amen? Thou hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. What is the heritage of those that fear his name? It's the kingdom. Amen? I'll just read the rest of it. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. All right. Psalm 127. We'll move along through Psalms here. This is not everything in the Word. This is just some that I picked out. Psalm 127. And we're going to be looking at verse 3. I should read the whole thing, though, because it's all good. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen? There's nothing we can do that will last unless the Lord does it. Amen? And that includes our own personal lives as well, our business, whatever. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This goes for your city as well. Amen? It is vain for you to rise up early to sit up late. Anybody ever do that?
Yeah. You up all night and you up early morning again.
Yeah. It's vain. He's saying you might as well rest. Get some rest. Get some sleep. Amen. To eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Now here's another one you need to claim. If you're having trouble sleeping, he giveth his beloved sleep. Many, many times I've laid in bed and I've got up in the middle of the night, go back to bed, can't go right back to sleep. I'm saying, Lord, he giveth his beloved sleep. Not just rest, sleep.
Yeah.
You know? And you go back to sleep because you believe the word of the Lord. All right, now let's go on. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now we're talking, again, we're talking about a heritage. Children are your heritage. Now I know that we live in a wicked and perverse generation where children have been lured away into unrighteousness, but let's look at the long term. God is saying the long term is this is the way it's going to be. Children are going to be the heritage of the Lord. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Okay, that was Psalm 127. Okay, we're going to go to Isaiah, and then we'll go to the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 17, 54 is just a great, great chapter all the way around. I just love to preach the whole chapter.
The whole book?
Or the whole book. There you go, the whole book. Amen. Oh my goodness. How do I pick out a verse? But let's go to verse 17. Well, let's pick up in 13, because we left off with children. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Here's another one you can claim. You say, well, it doesn't look like that. Well, claim it.
Yes.
Claim it.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Claim it. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear. Claim it, claim it, claim it. I'm not gonna have oppression. I am not going to have fear. Amen. It's not my heritage. I'm not gonna have it. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Terrorists? Who are they? What's terrorists all about? They're not coming anywhere near me. I mean, this is the word of God. Amen. Behold, they shall surely gather together. Now, you're not going to stop them from trying. They're going to gather together. They're going to try to conspire. Amen. But not by me. This is the Lord. It's not my conspiracy that's working against you. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fail for thy sake.
Hallelujah.
Now, he says, for your sake.
Hallelujah.
He didn't say for my sake.
Hallelujah.
He says, for your sake they will fail. What is this for you, for thy sake?
They'll fall.
Fall and fail mean the same thing. Amen? If they fall, they fail. Mm-hmm. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for the work, and I have created the waster to destroy. God is saying, yes, I created the devil, and I'm going to let him blow on the coals. I'm going to let him heat up the fire. I'm going to use him to do that. You know, he's kind of stupid. He thinks he's going to destroy you by it. I'm letting him, he's called the waster, he's the destroyer, I'm letting him blow the coal, but what it's going to result in is an instrument that I am forming, because it requires heat to make a good sword. Yes, I mean, God will only allow Satan to do whatever he allows him to do. I'll allow him to heat up the fire. Amen. You're the instrument. You're that piece of steel that's laying there on the coals. I allow you to get awful hot. I allow the blacksmith to bring you out and pound on you and make that metal into a sharp. I allow him to grind on you to sharpen you. Now listen to what he says. That brings forth an instrument for his work. Now you're a good sword. Now God can use you as a battle axe. Amen? To destroy the works of darkness. Remember that song, We Are God's Battle Axe? How does it go, Rita?
We are God's battle axe, breaking the works of darkness.
That was the part I was looking for.
Yeshua, hi, hi, hi.
Yeah, breaking the works of darkness. All right, so this is the instrument we're talking about now, okay? No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper.
Hallelujah.
Come on, brethren. We've been in a lot of situations where people have thought that they could prosper against us.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stand in the heat of the battle, amen, but in the long run, they're going to fall. They will not succeed. I can tell you many, many that have tried. If you remain in your integrity of righteousness, they cannot overtake you.
Amen.
Go ahead. I mean, I've proved it. I can give you stories. You don't want to hear my stories, but I can give you stories. Amen? Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Tongue. Tongues are what?
Part of the train.
Tongues are curses. When people raise up their tongues against you, they're cursing you.
Right. Yep.
And he says, every tongue that shall rise up against you, amen, thou shalt condemn. Where did the Lord speak? Was it to Moses? Where he said, not even a dog will wag his tongue against you. Was it Moses or was it Joshua? You remember Larry, where the Lord spoke and said to the man of God, he says, not even a dog will raise his tongue against you. Anyway, I know it's in the Word. Yeah. Anyway, this is the heritage. We're talking about heritage. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, the whole sentence has to be applied. The part of the heritage and the part of the righteousness.
Exodus 11:7.
Then it was Moses.
Yeah, it's Moses.
Exodus 11:7. Let's read that. God bless you. Exodus 11:7. Oh, it's the plagues. The last plague. But against, amen, any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Every tongue. That includes a dog's tongue. Exodus 11:7. Thank you so much. I thought it was to Moses. Yeah, it was that last plague that he was announcing. Amen. All right, so.
Before you leave, Isaiah 54.
Isaiah 54, yes.
You want the first three verses?
Yeah, let's go back to the first three verses. Isaiah 54. Now, we're talking about the heritage of the servants of God here. All right? It says, sing, O barren, sing, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. So that means, don't look at your present circumstances. Brethren, this is spiritual language. It doesn't matter whether you have natural children or not. This, he is talking about the spiritual heritage that you're going to have. Other people can flaunt their success and say, look what I'm doing. Look how I'm succeeding. Look how big we are. Look how many we've got. Look how much we've got. God says, no. The barren woman is what? Woman means church. Woman means the people of God. The barren has more than the prosperous one.
Yeah.
All right? Enlarge the place of thy tent. Make your house bigger. Make your spiritual house bigger. Make your faith bigger. Amen? Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Any of you ever build a tent? Any of you ever make a tent? Sleep in a tent?
Yeah, that's all we could afford when I had the kids when I went camping.
Oh, you poor guy.
My work won't do a tent now.
You know, I've got a tent, and it hasn't been out of its wrapping in 20 years. I did a lot of tenting when we were in Alaska. We'd go out, man, we'd set that tent up. It's called a 10-man mountain tent. It was a nice big tent. And you know, it was nice and warm, too. You could sleep in there when it was cold, frozen outside. It had a lining. But anyway, you have to lengthen these cords of this tent. And I guess these old-fashioned tents, you can make them bigger. You just keep stretching out the cord and put more canvas or whatever on top. They used skins in those days. Amen. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. In other words, you're not going to be confined. There's going to be a breaking out. Whoop, here he goes on the right. Oh, there he goes on the left. He's breaking out. He's getting bigger. Amen. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Oh, there's that word inherit again, isn't it? Thy seed. You know, even if you don't have natural seed, it doesn't matter. It's the spiritual seed that is going to inherit. Gentiles means the world. We're going to inherit the world. Amen. And make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Oh my. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Hey, listen, this is stuff that we really need to claim. This chapter is something that you should have claimed in your life 20 years ago, 30 years ago. If you haven't done so, do it now. But it should all be settled. You should know this. Amen? All right. Isaiah, there's another one in 58. Isaiah 58. Now, this is about fasting. All right. It says, if you do this, if you do that, then will your light break forth like the morning, verse 8. Your health shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Your rear word. Your rear guard. In other words, they won't even be able to sneak up on you from behind.
Amen.
You hear that, sister?
Yes, amen.
They won't be able to sneak up on you from behind. Amen. All right, now let me go down to verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. Hello?
Hallelujah.
High places of the earth. Not in the low molly grubs. Not in the low places of depression and sorrow. But on the high places of the earth. And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, can we look into the New Testament now? And there isn't a whole lot in the New Testament, but there's just a few verses I'd like to share with you. Let's go first to Peter. 1 Peter. Well, let's start in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. I think it's verse 14. No, wait a minute. I have it. 1 Peter 1, oh, no, 1, 4. I'm sorry, 1, 4. We got to read verse 3 because it's a complete sentence. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again with a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So this is another inheritance that we have, right? We have an incorruptible inheritance, reserved, a heavenly, a spiritual inheritance, reserved for us in heaven. And it isn't going to fade away. All right? Now, in the same 1 Peter, go to chapter 5. Go to chapter 5, verse 3. I have to read the whole thing down through that. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, this is Peter writing, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter is a partaker of the glory also. Feed the flock of God, which we're doing. We're feeding the flock. Amen. Which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, which is money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but as being examples to the flock. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Now, this word heritage is the word clarion. And from the word clarion, you get the word clergy. And what the church system has done is it's made a completely opposite meaning of the word clergy from what it was meant to mean. Clarion is the people are God's heritage. And what they've done is they've taken that word clergy and said, oh, it's only these few ordained ministers that are the clergy. Completely opposite meaning of what it was meant to mean. You know, I'm reading a book of the history of the church. Some of the definition of church in this book is really shouldn't even be defined as church. But I'll say the so-called Christian religion. And you know, there have been so many little breakoffs and splinters and little groups that have started, but you know, so many of these groups, they simply did not believe that they could have the preaching of the word unless they had a formally ordained minister from the state church that could speak to them. And that included the English, the Anglican church. They'd have a little group that, for instance, some of these people would come to America. I'm talking about the 1500s, the 1600s, they started coming over here to America. A little group would gather, but they couldn't have a minister because they had to have an ordained minister sent that had hands laid on them from the Church of England. I'm thinking, my goodness. Finally, the people began to get the idea of what church really was. Church is where two or three of you are gathered together. There I am in the midst of you. Amen. And so the word heritage, amen, clarion, is we are God's heritage. All right? Ephesians and Colossians and Hebrews. Just a few more verses if you can bear with me a little bit. Ephesians 1. Let's go back to Ephesians. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also ye have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Amen? So in him we have obtained an inheritance. In Christ, our inheritance. Bring you down to verse 14. It says, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, that sounds like a lot of legal language, doesn't it? The earnest of our inheritance. What does earnest mean? What does earnest mean? The earnest of your inheritance. Earnest is the down payment.
Okay. Yeah.
If you go to buy a house, you're a real estate agent, you say, well, I'd like to buy that house. I'd like to make an offer. And they say, well, how much would you like to offer? Well, let's offer $100,000 for it. And then your real estate agent is going to say to you, well, are you ready to put some earnest money down? you say, well, yeah, sure, $100. No, that's not very earnest. In other words, you're going to have to put down something substantial so that you are not going to back out of the deal. So you go and put down $10,000 on that $100,000 offer, that's earnest money. You've got a substantial down payment made. And this is what God is saying, is that you have from God the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment from God, the promise that you're going to get the whole inheritance.
Amen. That's right.
You have that Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's your down payment. That's God putting substantial money down on you. Well, I don't want to use the term money, but a substantial investment in you. He's put His Spirit in you. And you know that you're going to have the fullness of everything that He's promised. All the inheritance. It's going to be yours if you walk in righteousness. Okay? That's Ephesians. Oh, verse 18 also. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know that. He doesn't want you to be ignorant of that. He wants you to have your eyes opened. Brethren, if your eyes are not open to this, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to give up. You're going to say, oh, what's the use? He'll never be able to change me. Yes, He will. He's got a down payment on you. Amen. And He has the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory of His inheritance in you. His inheritance in me. Amen. Go to verse chapter 5 in the same book. And verse 5, we'll see the other side of this coin. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These who practice these things have no inheritance. Amen? What did Nehemiah say to Sanballat and Tobiah? He said, you have no inheritance in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not yours.
Right. Amen.
Get out of it.
That's right.
Let's look in Colossians 5, 5, 5.
Oh.
It's just the unclean things they're not going to inherit. All right? Colossians 1.
You know, Mark, every man has an inheritance.
Yes.
Even the wicked have their inheritance too.
Right now,
but not the kingdom of God.
No.
Yeah.
You don't want
their inheritance.
No, you don't.
Amen. No. Yeah. Some of the verses that I read back in Psalms and Proverbs make a contrast of what the wicked are going to inherit, and you don't want that. It's not. Amen? Colossians 1, I think we're going to start in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Hallelujah.
But how would you... Come on. Are we claiming that?
Yes, amen.
Are we claiming to be filled with the knowledge of His will, wisdom, spiritual understanding? Oh, I just don't know the will of God. Oh, if only I could know... Come on. It says here that we have it.
Yes, amen.
Come on, your life has the will of God if you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing, hello?
Amen.
You're gaining. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyful... Did you like that part about patience and long-suffering?
That's a rough one.
Amen? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Hallelujah. Praise you.
Amen. One last passage would be found in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. I suppose we could start in verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Listen, purge your conscience. The devil does not want your conscience purged. The devil wants to remind your conscience what a sinner you were. He wants to tell you about the things you did a long time ago. Evil thoughts that you thought. The devil wants to corrupt your conscience. Amen? But it is the blood of Jesus that purges your conscience. You know that you are forgiven. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, which were called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Our inheritance. Amen.